Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to our last show before the Thanksgiving holiday 2017. And we got a good one for you. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. I've got Mr. Krishna Vidati, who is the co-founder and CEO of Tinker, that's T-Y-N-K-E-R, huge in coding and STEM education skills and children's technical education. And Krishna's going to join us for a nice discussion of why it's so important for younger kids to get involved in coding and what Tinker does about it and helping so many educators all across the country. So I'll bring him on in just a second. Just a little bit of housekeeping first. We're going to archive the show over at our website. That's education-talkradio.org. And you can share that information with your friends. We also use Twitter over at EduTalk Radio and Facebook over at EduTalk Radio. You can friend us over there. And you'll get a direct link before and after every show. All right, so that you can easily listen and see what we're talking about each day. So, again, and by the way, the Thanksgiving holiday coming up, we will put a new schedule up there on Saturday, just like it's a normal Saturday as opposed to day three of a four-day week. Okay, happy Thanksgiving, everybody, in case I forget a little bit later. And, of course, happy Thanksgiving to my guest. Krishna, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me on your show.
It's my pleasure, Krishna, and please call me Larry, okay? Let me just give a couple of introductory words here. Tinker, and that's T-Y-N-K-E-R, tinker.com. 50 million kids learn STEM education skills via tablet app. Tinker software is currently in use in one of three U.S. schools. Congratulations on that. Is compatible with everything, and I don't even know what this is, flying parrot drones, Apple's Swift Playgrounds programming to Microsoft's hit Minecraft, of course. Okay, block-based programming language is easy to grasp for kids as young as 7 years old. Okay, the target audience is 7 to 14, but I bet I could use it, and seamlessly transitions kids to more advanced programming languages such as Swift. I think it's absolutely wonderful, and you know, Krishna, I got to tell you, when I do a lot of work with the Association of Foreign Language Educators, and I always think to myself that coding is the new fun, and not that foreign language isn't important, but coding is part of a foreign language where they're learning a language to code, and that's it is a language. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I agree in a sense that coding is a language of logic. Obviously, foreign languages, learning foreign languages is as important as well. It, you know, it gives you communication, cultural communication,
right,
as well as other subtle aspects of humanity.
Right. It's just so amazing to me. I think it's wonderful. I mean, you know, I know it's all ones and O's and X's and all that sort of thing. I'm old. I can't do it. I probably can do it, but I don't have the wherewithal to do it. And I think it's so important for the students and the teachers and the parents, I might add. We'll talk about that in a second to get so involved. What inspired you? What's your background? What's Tinker's background? Tell me all about this, or tell us all about
this. So myself and my co-founders, we had been technologists, you know, building software for, you know, cell phones and things like Last Company. We built a smartphone operating system for feature phones. This is just about before iPhones and Android phones, and AT&T acquired the company. And at that point, our children were around the age of 6.5 to 10. And, you know, watching them, how they are learning, and they're learning, you know, information from YouTube, they're Googling everything, you know, they're learning from, you know, all sorts of online media. And for that generation, we thought, what kind of skills they should be learning as well, besides the current things they learn from language arts and math. So that computing is a great skill to learn, and that motivated us to kind of start Tinker. And so in a nutshell, our children, our kids are the ones that motivated us to start Tinker.
All good. And how did you get the education side of it? I mean, I know you guys are technologists and you have kids, but how do you get the education side of it so perfect?
I think we've approached it from a parental mindset. So we wanted to build a system that's fun for kids, engaging first, because most kids. I mean, my kids definitely will not learn if something not fun for them. It matters to them. So we started with this principles of it has to be fun and engaging. It should be meaningful for children,
right.
Like meaning that they should be able to make something that they like or they envision. And finally, you know, we've kind of brought in other, you know, educators and said, how do you blend in standards while we're keeping this engaged and fun for kids? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so the mix
yeah.
of both of these things that enabled us to kind of build a system that works for both parties involved in education, both students and teachers, educators.
It's so amazing to me. Before we go further, I must ask you a question. What in hell is a flying parrot drone? Help me. Flying parrot drone.
So Parrot is a company that makes affordable quadcopters, which are called drones, which is like four-blade, four-fan flying drones, and they're very affordable to schools. A lot of schools are using them in their maker spaces. So what we do is that
okay.
we help kids program those using intuitive methods.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was, and I kept thinking, what are these? They look like parrots, and they're flying around the place or whatever. So thank you, my friend, for telling me that. I hope I'm the only person listening who did not know that. I hope all the teachers and the librarians and the makerspace people do that. You know, it's incredible. I have to tell you something interesting. We get a little local paper here in Maine, a little town where I live, and I just wanted to say this to you before we get into it. This was great. Coincidentally, I was looking at it yesterday. On December 6th, this is what we're going to be talking about, Family Code Night, featuring Hour of Code puzzles from code.org. You're certainly familiar with them. Start learning coding with your kids, a fun, free event for kids and parents together. I think it's wonderful. I live in the Sacopee Valley School District, and I think it's just coincidental that we're doing this show today. I mean, Fit Tinker. Again, T-Y-N-K-E-R, into the Hour of Code movement, and even National STEM Day, if you want, which actually are pretty cool holiday things. So talk about this. Put Tinker in there.
I think there's two things that's going on. Hour of Code is in the first week of December, which is the national movement started 4 years back to kind of bring in this coding, you know, the language of technology into schools across the country and across the world as well. And, you know, we have participated and provided, like, beautiful experiences for kids to kind of explore what it means to code using, you know, puzzles and games. We've been a big supporters. You know, millions of kids used our experiences, along with there are a lot of other providers on ourcode.com. You know, Tinker's puzzles and games are organized by various expertise levels and grades. And you can go to ourcode.tinker.com as well to explore all we provide, or you can go to code.org and see all
mm-hmm.
our puzzles as well. It's kind of, you know, it's taken a grassroots movement, started by code.org, a nonprofit organization, to can bring in this new thing that all our children should be learning, computation, you know, just like they're learning math. So that, like, when they grow up to become makers, they can use those skills.
Wow. And what about National STEM Day?
National STEM Day is, there's a national day for everything. So STEM is so STEM. The STEM are STEAM. That is also so there's a lot of, science, technology, math, engineering, and then now they have STEAM, which is science, technology, math, engineering, and arts, which is very important.
I love that. I think that's important.
So I think there's a company out of Southern California started this day, and then it's taken its own roots. And what we do is that, you know, coding by itself doesn't, you know, just make any sense. How do you apply the coding skills into other subject areas like science, math, language arts? Like, can you do an exploration of solar system by yourself? Or can you, understand how, water cycles work in atmospheres? So things like that. Or even biological sciences. So can coding play a role in that? So Tinker essentially explores that kind of pathways into what educators call project-based learning. So they learn a concept in the classroom. Can they apply coding skills to explore the concept further? And that's how we support STEM and STEAM from a coding perspective. But having said that, You know, there are a lot of, you know, subject areas which are very important for the human race, from medicine to energy to, you know, food. So the STEM is, or STEAM is such an important area that I think it's good that we're recognizing as a national day to celebrate and kind of bring awareness to everybody.
Right, and I couldn't agree with you more on that, okay? This is all very interesting. You know, I want to ask this question. Coding, we're starting to take it for granted that coding needs to be taught in schools, all right? And I hope that continues. But I have a question for you because you really understand the background of this, okay? Tell people really and truly, Krishna, why coding matters, all right? And everybody, people say, oh, well, you can make a computer program using code or put stuff together in your computer screen using code. But it's more than that, okay? Our whole world is, and our whole education world, our whole world is technologically based these days, okay? We have to understand. But from your point of view, as a tech, as a, I'm sure, a genius in technology, if I may, okay? Yeah, so just talk about that. Why is this so important? What are the kids going to gain out of it?
I think, you know, coding is, I think of coding as a life skill. Think of it this way. You know, there's so much technology surrounding us these days. And what we have to do to our children is, how do they take their thinking and ideas and have a machine do it for them? For example, let me give you a simple example. You know, we teach our kids maybe in fifth grade, like, prime numbers. How do you detect a prime number? Prime number is a number that, you know, can be divisible by itself or one, right? So if we give, you know, kids like maybe a number like 7, they say it's prime number 17, then it's prime number 28. No. What if I give you a 7-digit number, right? We all struggle. So we know how to do it. So what we should do, we are telling them is, like, how do you have, you know, you know how to do it, but let the machine do it, because you can tell the machine, do these steps and tell me if it's a prime or not. So what happens is, it's empowering human intelligence. It's not replacing it. You know, we can take that ideas into other subject areas. Like, for example, you know, somewhere I read an article where, you know, somebody wrote a program to analyze the best novels ever written, like, that we all admire, you know. And then they came up with different patterns of how different authors write, you know, what kind of words they use, what kind of emotion come through different, you know, these great American novels, right? So you can use computation in different ways to understand. You know, these days people are using computation to detect, you know, on CT scans better than humans can do, right? But it's all being programmed by humans saying, we know how to do this. Let machines do the work for us so we can do bigger things, right? So I think computation, teaching kids computation they could use in different fields, is the right way to go. Versus, there's a lot of, you know, talk these days about, like, you know, there'll be many more jobs in, you know, being programmers, which is true in the current context. But I think helping our kids to think about computation differently, as, you know, they're all interested in different fields, is the right way to go, in my personal opinion.
And it is going to be, I don't know how close the future is, but it's going to be the communication of the future. Am I correct?
It is. I mean, if you look at
and the
right
future
now,
might be now. The future might be now. You know, but whatever the future is, this is the communication thing. So, is the U.S. lagging behind? You hear about Singapore, China, Finland. Are we behind in teaching kids coding?
I think that we don't have a national mandate, but lots of leaders across states, like, as you just alluded to the fact that, like, you have a family coding night. There's a lot of grassroots, like, you know, in individual districts and states are mandating as a subject area. So I would say, you know, it has taken on in the last couple of years, it's taken off its own speed in terms of adoption. And knowing what I know from a thinker, lots of schools, whether it is they're teaching it an hour a week or after school program, they're all starting to adopt. And, you know, U.S. has always been a leader in technology, and most of the innovation happens in this country, and a lot of other countries adopting or copying us. So I think And the country, you know, we are a big country, so it takes a lot more than a Singapore, which is a smaller country, to kind of mandate and
right.
make things happen. So I wouldn't necessarily say that we're behind, but I would just say it's not nationally mandated as across the nation that this got to be something that taught in schools. That's because if once the mandate that, then schools will get funding some form or the other, and they'll be able to hire educators and do things. So that's the challenge for schools and school districts.
And by the way, pardon my coughing. I'm having allergy attacks this week. It's making me crazy. When kids do coding, okay, what do they like about when you see kids doing coding, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Even anecdotally, as opposed to some test score or something, what do you see, okay, when you see kids doing this? Are they happy? You know, every kid, and I'm much older than you. We all went through math class. I guess we all supposedly learned math. I found it boring, etc. In any way, shape, or form. Okay, all right. But when kids do coding, I always hear good things. Like they really, really, really like it. Okay, and I'm just curious from your point of view. You're a CEO of a coding education company. What do you see? And what do you hear from the teachers?
I think that so we see, you know, millions of projects that kids make. And then I'll give you some things that, like, blew my mind off. Like, for example, this summer, to kind of stop the summer slump, to help all the parents around the country, we started something called Summer Codathon, where kids are given a topic. Like, for example, we gave them a topic saying, change the world. A broad topic and say, make something with code that changes the world. And I was like, you know, the kind of examples that came out, like how do you kind of, you know, attack pollution, you know, how do you do recycling, right, to like, you know, food, like how do you kind of improve food or like, you know, global warming. And kids have all sorts of amazing ideas. Sure, some of these projects are, you know, storytelling projects. Some of them could be different ideas in which games that will, like, enable people to understand, like, ocean pollution, things like that. But, you know, they have these big ideas of how to change the world in their own mind, right? So that I can actually, they not only, some of these makers make these projects, and they're actually inspiring others to kind of remix things, right? And, you know, yesterday, for example, which I was like, I didn't even think, there is somebody who made nail salon, which is like using code. She made a virtual set, and this girl made a virtual nail salon where, you know, you can paint nails using code. Like, you know, it's like, you know, just like it's an artist brush, and you can pick up different brushes, and it'll show exactly how your nails look virtually. And then it's all written in code. So, I mean, you think about one end of the spectrum, you know, changing the world topics to nail salon. But I would tell you, like, you know, we see and the thousands of projects related to pets and food, right? And a lot of pets, like caring about pets. I guess, you know, kids like love caring, and, you know, and that's one of the aspects. So we see different type of pet games, you know, and virtual pets, and, you know, and like pet, you know, there's lots of projects in which I was like, initially being a programmer, I never kind of, you know, didn't think, but like kids come up with amazing projects like that. For example, there are projects that'll say, you know, how to make toast, like, you know, or popcorn, you know, based games, right? There's a lot of interesting topics, you know, kids come up with in coding that adults actually don't think they connect to coding. That, I mean, I'm giving you these extreme examples, but a lot of kids end up making a lot of games because they're like, you know, playing with their parents' phones. They're seeing interesting games. They're trying to kind of come up with their versions of games. Like, you know, we see a lot of variants of Fruit Ninja, Doodle Jumps, a lot of platformer games. So kids are like emulating and say, hey, I see that game. Can I make it myself? Right? And actually, as soon as they make something, even if it's simple enough, it empowers them. It's just basically that, oh, I can do it. And then that takes off and make all sorts of interesting things. So, to long answer to your short question is that
no, it was a good answer.
All sorts of things. Also,
no, it was a good answer. And the other thing I want to ask you is the IT skills gap. You know, they always say there. I don't know what the number is. I'll say 2 million jobs available at any time, and nobody can do it. And when all said and done, okay, do a lot of those jobs just boil down to understanding how to code?
I think a lot of those jobs have multi-part things. One is coding as a tool. Like, for example, if you are interested in, like, you know, self-driving cars, I mean, there's lots of other things that they need to understand, just the code itself. Or, you know, so there are a blend of skills, and coding part makes an plays an integral part, learning to code. Because, you know, any job they pick up, they can use the IT skills and other skills make the next generation of technologies possible, right? Like, for example, you're already seeing things like self-driving cars and, you know, all sorts of things. So the IT skills gap is not just about learning coding, but like coding as along with other skills. That's I think, is very important. Otherwise, everybody will just learn one skill and say, what do I do now? So when they say these tech jobs, they're saying tech will be an integral part of a lot of jobs in future. And just that's one way to think about it.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I do believe in this, because one of the purposes of school was always to create a workforce. Always. That's always been the purpose. Okay. And you want people to learn things, you want them to be good citizens, but the grand overall scheme is to create a workforce that actually works. All right. And, I think it's wonderful that we start these kids at the very beginning and move forward on this. Let's finish up. Krishna, tell us how people can get in touch with Tinker and what you want them to know about it.
Anybody can go to tinker.com. If you're a parent, you can set up an account and then, you know, and add your child, and then you can watch them learn. And then if they really like coding, they can take other courses from Tinker. If you're an educator, just go to tinker.com, sign up a free account. You can use all our tools for free with across any number of thousands of students. And we also provide some premium curriculum if you're interested in exploring that. But we just want kids to kind of learn this, and no matter how, whether Tinker or any other system, and kind of change the world for the better. And that's what we hope. And
I think you're right. You know, up here on your website, you have, I assume maybe it's for Christmas time, I don't know, but you have a little seal, and it says, give the gift of coding. That's over on tinker.com, T-Y-N-K-E-R, and it truly is a gift. If your kid can learn coding, you have given them a gift. Just like if they can learn another foreign language, you're giving them a gift for the future. I think what you're doing is great, and I thank you for all your insights today, Krishna. This was great. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Thanks for having me. I had a real fun time talking to you.
It was, believe me, my pleasure, and I hope we could do more. Okay, so I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and
thank
all
you, my friend.
Listeners as well.
Yes. Bye-bye. Okay, that's Krishna Vedati. Krishna, I don't have to say too much about how smart he is, tinker.com. Their Twitter is Go Tinker, but T-Y-N-K-E-R. We'll archive the show, education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out at Edu Talk Radio. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I hope everybody but the turkey, okay, has a good time. All right? And the poor little turkey, that'll be that. Tinker, thanks a million. Krishna, thanks a million. Good luck with everything you're doing over there in this well-established company. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and thanks for listening.